Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to this week's podcast of The Simple Sophisticate. I hope that your weekend went well, and I am excited to get back to the 21st episode and dive right back in. I don't know if any of you guys have been watching the news this past week, but if you have, you no doubt heard the good news of the successful free climb up the Dawn Wall of the El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. The two climbers were Kevin Jorgensen and Tommy Caldwell, and they did something that many people believed was absolutely impossible. I'll provide a link so that you can look at all the details, so I won't go into them in depth now, but the premise and why I bring this up is just that whole concept of doing something, completing something, finishing something that many people never thought could be done, can and often is done constantly every single day, more than we realize. So today, the episode is going to be all about the importance of setting or choosing our best reality so that we can be successful, be more content, and experience life at the level that it's meant to be enjoyed, to reach our full potential, in other words. I want to start off with a quote from this book I just recently read, called From Before Happiness by Sean Aker. And he says, quote, "Happiness is not about being blind to the negatives in our environment. It's about believing we have the power to do something about them." Okay, so let's get into this. The reality of the world we live in at first seems to be a constant that we can't change it, right? Like, no matter what we do or say, the sky will be blue when the sun is out and there's no clouds, and the earth will be round. Those kind of things. We think, oh, there's no way we can change it. That's reality. It's just the way it's going to be. But the fact is, and this is good news, we actually can change our perception of reality. And that's the key focus we're going to look at today, perception of reality. What we think is real may indeed be, but that means that we also are probably ignoring other realities that are dancing around us, and we just need to be aware of them and figure out which one is the best one for our path to success. I know this sounds kind of absurd. How can you choose your reality? We're not living in an alternate universe. We're not. No, I'm not. I'm not going sci-fi on you. Don't worry. But after reading Sean Aker's best-selling book, Before Happiness, The 5 Hidden Keys to Achieving Success, Spreading Happiness, and Sustaining Positive Change, I came to realize that indeed, how we perceive reality, the reality that we're in and expect to be in each day, can shift. And that shift can make the difference between happiness and sadness, fulfillment and failure. I don't know about you, but I got excited as soon as I started reading this book. In fact, I think I was talking about it. I was bending my friends and family's ears all weekend about it. I'm sure they're sick of me, but thank you for your patience, because it just electrified something in me. While I was reading this book, I realized that I had recently experienced exactly what he speaks about regarding this image we construct in our minds of how something should or will go. Because, you know, we know exactly how things are going to go. And how often our misunderstanding or limited perspective of how events will unfold is precisely how we place barriers in our own way. And they get in the way of us reaching the success that we say we want. But wait a second. So we're putting barriers up to prevent us from getting to the success we want. So in other words, we're doing this subconsciously. So today, hopefully we can break through that subconscious. We can break through that ice and kind of awaken ourselves to our power and also I will give you a few tools on how to do that. And hopefully this is, again, it's just a preview of what his book's all about. I highly recommend you going and picking this book up, renting it, checking it out at the library and just enjoying it, because it is worth your time and it's a good resource. Over the holiday break, so this is the event that kind of came to my mind as I was reading the book. Over this holiday break, a few weeks ago, I signed up for an introductory rock climbing class in Portland, and I'll provide a link just in case you too are an avid or curious rock climbing aficionado or want to be a aficionado. I'll provide a link if you're in the Portland area. With one of my close friends, as soon as I asked her to go, she said yes. I was so thrilled. She was so gung-ho. Absolutely thankful for her coming along with me, because who knows what it could have been like. Anyway, always wanting to learn how to climb. I mean, I've always wanted to. For some reason, I've never done it. I mean, I live in Oregon. I mean, there's all sorts of opportunities, right? But whether it was, you know, I wasn't living in an area where there were opportunities, or I just got so busy I wasn't able to, I just haven't. And so finally, a couple weeks ago, I did it. I finally pounced at the chance when my schedule was free, and it was an amazing experience. After all, so we're at the class, right? We're there. My friend, her name's Nancy, she's there with me, and we get through all the instructions on how to tie our ropes, how to belay for our partner, and how to check our partner for all the safety checks and danger checks. We go over repeatedly. We're ready. Bring it on, right? We begin getting all psyched up for our first climb. And granted, this is all indoors. There's nothing scary. The weather's fabulous inside because it's managed manually. You get the idea. Everything is in our favor. And then I begin to feel just a slight, and it is slight, twinge of fear. I mean, I'm a go-getter. I'll go out and do just about anything once. But I was a little bit shocked by this subtle trepidation that I was feeling. Now, I wouldn't call myself someone who's totally, absolutely afraid of heights, but you know, I respect gravity. Let's just leave it at that. I am not going to tease the gods of gravity and walk out onto that glass ledge, for example, at Chicago's Willis Tower. No, not going to do that. Nuh-uh, no way. But I mean, I have done other things that are pretty frightening and don't think twice about it necessarily, but there's, in the back of my mind, there's always respect for what could happen. Always that respect. Maybe too much so is what I've discovered in this particular situation. However, I was securely in my harness, right? So I knew that. I'm thinking about all this as rationally as I could. I have a secure harness. The rock wall was man-made. We were indoors, as I said before. So many of these variables were under our control. But I still noticed that fear. But I wasn't going to let it stop me, not for a moment. No. So fast forward, I'm on my first climb. And upon scaling, I'm about halfway up, right? I'm about halfway up, and I haven't really looked behind me the entire time. I was fine. And then I stopped. Okay, not a good idea. So I swiveled my head around, and I noticed, whoa, there's a bit more than just a little bit of distance between me and the floor. My brain starts spinning, neck breaking, leg snapping, not the kind of images you want swirling around in your head when you're tethered to a wall. And so I promptly asked Nancy to say, okay, I'm coming down, bring me down. She's like, you sure? I'm like, yes, bring me down. So I get down, but I was frustrated. I was absolutely frustrated with myself. The moment I started coming down, I was frustrated. It was instantaneous. More than anything, I was frustrated with myself because I knew rationally, I had nothing to be afraid of. I knew this. Yes, I needed to respect the process and properly follow the procedures, but I knew I had done that. So therefore, I had nothing to fear. But yet I still, in that moment, I still had a bit of it. Second climb. Here we go. Upon taking the different route, and I realized later, I have to confess this, I realized later that this route was a little bit harder than my first route. I didn't know this. I didn't realize this. So my ignorance was actually a huge benefit, or a blessing, I guess you could say. But anyway, so I decided I'm going to do this climb. It looked easier to me. For some reason, my reality was wrong, and that wrong actually helped me in this instance. I thought it was more a successful path, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. I had climbed approximately 2/3 up this particular route, and I stopped. My eyes began to water, and I'll never forget this. I was totally shocked, by the way, totally shocked. I'm not a crybaby. I mean, I'm emotional about things. But I mean, happy things too, right? My eyes started to water. I'm like, don't turn around. Don't show fear. You can do this. My heart got a little tight and I swallowed a little bit. Swallowed really hard. And I am noticing that there's children and other adults whizzing past me going up these walls. I'm like, come on, Shannon, you can do this. Why was my stomach in knots? I had to ask myself this. My previously set reality had been all wrong. And this is the why I'm telling the story for today's episode. I had created images and I had primed the pump full of reasons to be fearful. When I also knew I was more than capable, so long as I had the right tools, which I had, so long as I had a partner I could trust, I knew I did. And as long as I knew I could physically do it, which I knew I could. So for those last few moments, while I respected the fact that I was as high as I was, I didn't look down until I reached the top. And I did finally reach the top. But it took me, I had to check myself there. And I had to stop, become honest with myself. And say, come on, you have scared yourself unnecessarily. Don't ignore the facts, respect them, but also respect what you're capable of and what the situation is allowing you to do. So here we go. With every subsequent climb, I have never felt that fear again. It was very interesting. It was like I pushed through this little self-imposed bubble that I had placed around myself. And while I don't make it to the top each time that I attempt this, and I definitely do not do it gracefully or technically sound according to however you're supposed to rock climb, I need to go back for a few more classes, needless to say, I've made it to the top more times than not. So why am I sharing this experience? So I expect you guys to be listening to be rock climbers or want to be rock climbers. Absolutely not. In fact, I'll post a picture or two of my experience. But when I posted one of the pictures on Instagram, one of my readers said, yes, that looks fantastically challenging. No, you will not find me doing it. This is not an episode to get you to go rock climb. Absolutely not. But I do want to talk about this whole idea of the self-imposed realities we put up in front of ourselves that actually get in the way. So the first reason why it's important to create your own reality that's going to be most successful is that, number one, you allow yourself, you help yourself to break through self-imposed barriers. And through that experience that I just shared, I think you noticed that I had placed something around me that no one else had put there. No one else had done that but me. So just as I had placed this fear of heights while rock climbing on my shoulders unnecessarily, imagining all the atrocities that could happen should something go wrong, I had chosen to view reality through a lens that was not the most conducive to success. In Aker's book, he discusses the three strategies for how to choose the most valuable reality. And strategy number one brings light to the fact that there are multiple versions of reality. Yes, you heard me right. Multiple versions. Wait a second. What does he mean? Well, the example he brings up is about stress. Aker explains that while, yes, this is the first reality, reality number one, stress has been proven to be damaging to our health and immune system. Okay, we all can respect that. We talk about that a lot here on the blog, in fact. But it's also equally true, here's reality number two, that even at high levels of stress can, quote, create greater mental toughness, deeper relationships, heighten awareness, bring new perspectives, bring a sense of mastery, a greater appreciation of life, a heightened sense of meaning, and even strengthen our priorities. So reality number two is showing us there are actually a lot of positives to stress when it comes into our lives, and it all depends on how we view it. So let's look at the rock climbing scenario again. Reality one, rock climbing is dangerous, could lead to broken limbs or loss of life. This is absolutely true. We're not denying that fact. There's no question about it. But reality two is rock climbing is a unique approach to working out because it requires a coordination of strength, endurance, and flexibility. So in order to be successful at rock climbing, one would have to be motivated enough to be disciplined in their workout regimen. This is also true. So depending on what I want to, what I want rock climbing to be in my life, it can be a wall that I don't climb, it gets in the way because I'm so scared, or it can be an opportunity for me to strengthen my physical abilities. It just depends on the reality I choose to look at it. And there's other realities too that we could put up, but those are just examples. In other words, when we shift our perspective on the reality we find ourselves in, whatever it may be, in work, in our relationships, in how we get along with people at work, or how we get along with people that we're in relationships with, whether it be family, whether it be with a romantic partner, whether it be with our children, When we shift our perspective, we gain more knowledge and insight. It doesn't mean we are ignoring the negative or pretending it doesn't exist. That would be what Acre calls being an irrational optimist. We don't want to be that much of a, we don't want to be that Pollyanna, right? We've talked about her before. Rather, we are actually opening more doors and opportunities for success when we shift our perspective, which we'll talk a little bit more about in our next point. So by shifting to a vantage point, a reality that will bring us more success, we are actually helping ourselves out. We're not denying something. We're not denying something at all. We just may be able to get to the top of that rock wall rather than be stuck in the middle every single time we attempt it, to use the analogy. All right. So number one is by choosing our reality, the best one for us, we break through self-imposed barriers. Number two, as I said, as I promised, number two is to increase our success and our happiness. Understandably, a cynic or a pessimist will be less likely to be truly happy, as they've always will be assuming the worst, which ultimately will deflate not only their potential to be happy, but those around them. However, if we choose to identify multiple realities to this one scenario, whatever it may be, our work day or an unexpected news we receive or our love life, we open our minds and realize there are truly more than one reality. There's truly more than one reality. Acre shares that researchers have found that when we add vantage points to any scenario, so multiple vantage points, 2, 3, 4, whatever, we actually improve our creativity and innovation. And when we increase these two aspects of our lives, I mean, we become better problem solvers, become better innovators, and ultimately, we begin to curate the life that we may never have thought could have existed if we had chosen to exist in that original first reality. And we impose that reality on ourselves. That's important to point out. We actually created that reality. So if we can shift the reality, we become the artist, we become the composer, the maestro. We can control our lives more than we realize. And it has to do with shifting our mind, shifting our perspective. And it's one of the activities he actually speaks about in his book is that Yale requires all those in the medical field to take this one particular art class where they have to go to museums and analyze art, or at least observe it, and try to see a variety of different things that they may not have seen before as they learn more about the context of the painting, the painter, the history, whatever it may be. And you may think, well, that's absurd. They're doctors. They don't need to be, you know, adept in knowing art and how to analyze it and discuss it. Well, he explains, and I'll do it briefly, but he explains that basically we're opening up our minds and our abilities to see things in ways that we haven't done before. We're opening up our perspective. It's much like, as soon as I read that, I was thinking, well, it's much like traveling. You know, one of my favorite quotes, and I've shared it on the blog before, is by Mark Twain, and he says that travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. In his point, or to what he's saying, is basically that we will begin to see things that we never could have imagined before. We open our eyes to different ways of living, to different ways of being. And that opens up new possibilities. And when we bring them back to our world, we can start connecting dots that we didn't even know were even close enough together to connect. And that's where the creativity comes in. That's where innovation comes in. That's where the problem solving comes in. So another benefit of setting or choosing your best reality is that you increase your happiness, you increase your success. And the last reason it's important to choose your best reality is number three, that you can use stress as a productive tool. I mentioned it briefly at the beginning of this week's episode, this idea that, yeah, stress exists and it can be bad, but can also have a lot of positive effects as well. And that was the second reality. Another quote I'd like to share with you with regards to stress that was shared in the book is that while stress is inevitable, then its negative effects are not. We can choose how we want to allow stress to affect our lives. Acre reminds us that in order to make sure that stress is more of a positive effect on our life than a negative, we must get to the bottom of the meaning of the stress. So you're stressed about what's going to happen in work today. Why are you stressed? Okay, you want to keep your job. That's your livelihood. That's your financial well-being. Okay, then that should be motivation to do your best, to make sure you get a good night's sleep, to make sure that you're well-fed, and that you walk out the door with more confidence and
that you're on your best feet, you have the most energy possible so you can think as quickly and as carefully as you need to. If we reframe the stress we're feeling, if we understand more deeply why we're feeling the stress that we're feeling, we will be better able to use that stress as a motivator to do our best rather than this barrier of fear that we put up in front of ourselves to maybe stop us or slow us down. Much like fear and change, stress will always be present in our lives. However, it is how we handle it that will make a difference in our overall happiness and success. I think a tremendous aha moment for all of us is going to be, and maybe it's already happened, I have a feeling it's happened for many of you already listening this morning, is when we realize that our thoughts create the world we live in, more so than we realize. By welcoming more new and different experiences and perspectives, we actually unwrap this gift of opportunities as we can now connect the dots of how new ideas may work together. In other words, our reality cannot grow unless we choose to see it differently, unless we choose to turn around and look at it from a different angle, or get up on a chair and look at it from an elevated position, or get down on the ground and look at it from a lower vantage point. Whatever it is, change the vantage point, do it. Instead of our boss not appreciating our work, maybe our boss had a few other pressing matters that we didn't know about, and it was completely oversight that they didn't comment on our work, so we shouldn't take it personal. Instead of spinning our wheels trying to protect ourselves from being hurt when it comes to relationships, maybe we should spend our finite energy on how to enjoy the present moment with them and let tomorrow bring what it will. What you bring to every scenario you are in helps predict the outcome. Bring a good attitude of resilience and determination, and most likely you will run into more opportunities that will lead you to greater success and happiness. But the reverse is true too. If you assume the reality is going to be bad, if you assume that nothing positive can come out of it, most likely it won't, because you don't bring that energy, that optimism, that hope to it, or that effort more than anything. It's the effort you bring. So today, here we go. Ask yourself, what realities are you living in that aren't productive for the life you are trying to live? Start with one, and then gradually train your mind to shift by default to the most valuable path or reality for your success. Even if you do not wish to rock climb, I get it. I totally get it. Trust me when I say that often we do put the barrier up that stands in our way to success. But the good news is that if we put it there, we can remove it. Have faith and have confidence in yourself. I know you can find the reality that is most amazing. All right, in today's show notes, you'll find the quotes, a link to Sean Aker's book that I've been talking about this entire episode. Go to www.thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast21 and you'll find everything there, as well as a few other posts that you might be interested in on the similar topic. All right, do stay tuned, because we have a delicious little petit plaisir that I've been talking about all last week on my Instagram feed. I think you're going to like it. I know you're going to enjoy it if you have the opportunity to taste it. I'll see you on the other side. All right. So welcome back. Let's talk food. Let's talk really good food. Melt in your mouth butter. Good food. This is the next dessert or recipe, I should say, that I'm going to share with you. Actually, it doesn't have to be a dessert. It can be an appetizer as well. They're called pommières, and they were first introduced to me by our baking instructor at a class I took in Portland at Sur La Table. Love their classes. This particular class was all about French pastries. I know. I was in heaven. I highly recommend you taking this class. One of them was the pommière, and I've seen it before, and I think I had one, and it was probably at an airport, and it was probably in a plastic bag, and she informed me that it was probably more than a week or two old, and I didn't like it because it was chewy, and it was just sticky in my mouth, and I just did not like it. I was like, why do people like these things? Because as soon as I tasted the ones that she made for us and then we made for ourselves, they melted in your mouth. Butter, sugar, flaky like croissant, but just enough like a cookie that's just absolutely decadent and small enough that you don't feel guilty at all. And the beauty is you can make the dough ahead of time, 2 days, in fact, ahead of time if you want. And you can have it in your freezer and be able to chop up a few little cookies here and there and make them for sweet little treats if friends or neighbors stop by with tea or coffee. It's absolutely fantastic. And in even better news, you can make them into a savory treat. And I've done this before, and I actually show an image of it that I used at an event I catered a couple years ago, where you can put Comté cheese and Dijon mustard. You can put prosciutto if you want. You can put all sorts of anything that just tempts your taste buds or your guest taste buds. But the simplest one is the one I use for dessert. And all I put in it is sugar. Now, I have seen Barefoot Contessa put jam or anything kind of sweet with fruits in it. And that's absolutely doable. It's really up to you what you want to do. But the key is time and patience. And while I won't go step by step here on the podcast today's episode with you, I will put the recipe step by step with pictures on the blog today. So simply click on the Palmier's recipe and it will take you to my blog post that has pictures and a step-by-step guide of how to fold it, how to wrap it, and all of the fun stuff. And it's really quite easy. Again, it just takes time. What I mean by time? Well, you're going to, number one, here's my big recommendation. You're going to want to make your own quick puff pastry. I know you can buy them in the store, but trust me on this one, you're going to want to make it. And it's really not that hard to do. It just takes time. You're basically making pie dough or tart dough. It's simpler than that, though. Butter, sugar, flour, and a dash of salt. And you're rolling it out, refrigerating it, rolling it out, refrigerating it, rolling it out, refrigerating it. So it takes about 2 to 3 hours to get through that process. And you can actually leave it in the refrigerator longer if you need to do your errands or go to work or whatever you need to do. So that's the nice part. But you do need to refrigerate it 3 to 4 different times for at least 30 minutes each time. Completely worth it though, because as soon as you've done those four turns in the refrigerator, you're going to ensure that you have the most flaky bite that you've ever had, and it will absolutely melt in your mouth. I am not kidding you. So once you've done the 4 different times in the refrigerator, then you get to fold it into the 4 different folds that should make it look like a palm frond, elephant ears, or butterfly wings, or as some of my readers pointed out on Instagram last week, a heart, if you want. It's up to you. It's up to you. But it is absolutely easy. You literally put it in the oven for 10 minutes, flip it over, 7 more minutes, and it's a golden brown goodness that just is perfectly paired with hot tea. And it's just that delectable. It absolutely is. So this week's sweet treat or petit plaisir is a palmier. And I highly recommend you try the sweet, but don't forget the savory, because they will impress your guests. Stop by the blog for this recipe at www.thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast21. I hope you've enjoyed this week's petit plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, a recipe, or from time to time, introduce you to an expert who offers insight into how to live simply luxuriously. Anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, stop by the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up the book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonjour.